Think you know how to party? Well, science does. In fact, there are nerds out there that spend their whole lives researching the ins and outs of sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
But don't take this nerd's word for it. In the Party Science Podcast, we break down the research behind a good time and a great time.
I'm Dr. Joel Rindelob, a real-life scientific researcher.
And I'm comedian Courtney Dawson, a real-life party girl.
And together, we talk to world experts in psychedelics.
Look at topics like the physiology of squirting and show you how science parties harder than you thought possible.
Stay tuned every Wednesday for a new episode scientifically proven to rock your dome.
This is a Frank Podcast.
There ain't no blue tick next to this guy's name, though. It's INF on this episode of Honest to Who. One of the most creative rappers in the game right now. He's the one of five of Swrat. I've had nothing but admiration for this man, for his way that he crafts things, to his creative mindset, to how he gets into the zone when it comes to creating lyrics. I'm keeping it 100 with Honest to Who and INF.
Okay, today on the Honest to Who, this is the first time we're actually calling it Honest to Who podcast. It's the Honest to Who.
Yeah.
Honest to Who.
Honest to Who. On Zoo.
Honest to Who.
On Zoo.
We got INF, aka Mon, aka Infinite, aka what else do we call you, bruv?
Man, that's Cat Whisperer. I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm just, all I know is that I'm like sweating in places I never sweat before.
Why the fuck are you so nervous for? That's what I'm buzzing out. It annoys me that you're nervous.
No, I'm chill. I'm chill.
It makes me feel that I haven't done my due diligence.
I'm not even nervous, honestly.
Oh, man. So, brother, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And like, you know, I have to get you on because I feel like we have kindred spirits in terms of just being out the gate, motherfuckers. You know, it's there.
I know, man. We're like, you know, two sea turtles in the that's what's that called? The sea thingy,
the Pacific Highway.
Yes.
Saying? Yeah. See, the people don't know,
bro. Finish my sentences, bro. It's like, it's a fucking, are we allowed to swear?
You can fucking swear.
Okay, it's fucking,
come on, it's me.
Yeah. All right.
It wouldn't be me if it wasn't there.
Just checking.
But no, we are, you know, and it's great to get you on because, fuck, we kind of have the same love for being creative, but also just some of our interests are very, very similar.
Mm.
Like, I love the wrestling. You love the, I don't love the wrestling now.
Mm.
But back in the day, that was my fucking jam.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I think we're kind of cut from the same cloth in that.
Yeah. What do you not like about today's wrestling?
I think it's just too much. I can't pinpoint it.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
But it's just, maybe it's just when I was younger.
Mm.
When I was in high school and when I was in intermediate, that shit was life.
Mm.
I just wanted to know who beat Goldberg. I wanted to know who's he got next. That's what I want to know. And now there's no suspense like that. I don't care.
Yeah. Because like for me, when I see today's wrestling, and maybe it's just because like I'm an adult now compared to like when I used to see it as a kid.
Mm.
So when I look at it now, it's like, I don't believe it. Like, I don't believe it. Look, but when I watch like, you know, WWE, like WWF, like Raw, like those days, when I watch that now at this age, I still believe, like, I still feel like there's that essence of, man, they're like selling it so good that when I look at today's wrestling, it's like, it's like a, I don't know.
I think they have broken, what they call, you know, the kayfabe, I suppose, the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get that, bro. But regardless of that, bro, you know, fuck Mr. McMahon. Okay, he's just an asshole. Okay, if you're watching this, Vince, I'm talking about you, mate.
So many cameras. I don't even know where the cameras are. Oh, shit.
We're doing a big at the moment, bro. I told you we're doing a big.
Damn. Just if you're like tuning in just right now, Tim's got money.
Oh, shut the hell up.
Hey, look at this.
Hey, listen, this Carhartt is fake, bro. This Carhartt is not real.
Why is that Carhartt got three T's?
It's Carhartt. It's got a stutter. It's Carhartt. So, let's get into this music stuff, Ace. With Swidit, do you guys, did you ever feel that, like, coming up with Red Eye being, you know, your whānau, and being like, yo, this is what I want to do in life. When was the first time that you were like, I just want to be this musician? I'm not going to say rapper,
yeah,
because I think that you're a lot more than that, but we'll get into that later. But when was the first time when you realized this is what I wanted to do?
I think at the time, it's not a point of, at that time, you don't actually realize that that's what you want to do until like you look back. For me anyway, personally, I was like, I think what it was for me, it would have been the curiosity.
Yeah.
But at that time, I'm not actually, you know, realizing that, oh, this is what I want to do. It's just like, I found a certain curiosity and it just kept, like, I wanted to ask so many questions and find the answers to all those questions. And not until later, I realized, oh, damn, like, this has got me to where I am now because of just based on my curiosity that turned into a passion for something that I, you know, wanted to know the answers to, I guess, like, because I was just asking, like, how is this made? Who made this? Like, what is the sound? How was the sound made? What am I listening to? What am I feeling? Like, what is this feeling? What is bass?
Were you always like that as a kid? Just curious?
Were you always like, nah.
No, hold on. I'm not trying to get all fucking Dr. Phil on this. I'm saying there are kids that are super curious about everything.
Yeah.
And they're kids that are.
Damn, I think, nah.
Nah?
I don't think I was curious about much as a kid.
I mean, like, around music.
Around music, yes, yeah. I was. Yeah, for sure. And I think that got addictive for me. Like, I always wanted to know what was what, who was this? Like, you know, just all these questions I needed answers to. And I still feel the same way now. Like, that same passion for music is still there. It's like, yeah.
With that passion, like growing up, how, like, and for the people that know, how is like a Red Eye Society, how are they connected with you guys? I know it, but it just, you know, I'd rather you explain it.
Yeah. So my older brother, J1, he was in Red Eye Society, and then like his friends, like Tech, Venomous, even like all the OG members of Red Eye Society, because it was like Wu-Tang, almost, like, you know, like a massive click. And man, I looked up to those guys, like, because I, you know, as a kid, just hearing the music coming out of the room next to me, my brother's room, and it was just like that raw, like, I don't give a fuck kind of energy. You know, and as a kid, like, you know, soaking that all in, it was just, I don't know, I guess, again, I was curious, like, what are these guys doing next door? Like, you know, and then when they would leave, shit, I would like go into the room and like push play on all the, like push all the buttons on the drum machines, like touch all the vinyl and stuff like that. But they would have like lyrics everywhere, like all their papers like written down.
Wow.
Like everywhere, like stacks of just bars and bars, bars. But like, it made no sense to me because at that age, I was like, what does this even mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can't read the writing properly. Like, you know,
well, how old were you? Like,
I would have been like fucking was that your 6, 7, 8.
Well, that was your first kind of like, that's what music is. Like, was there anything before that? Or was it?
I mean, like, I knew, I think that was my first realization of, you can do this, like, this is possible kind of thing, rather than just hearing music on the radio next door to my bedroom. Music is being made.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening. This is real. Like, it's achievable. And I was like, okay. Like, and at that point in time, I guess I was in it. Like, it, you know, I didn't know that it was going to happen to me, but it was like, I didn't have a choice. Like, it, I was like so engulfed in it that, you know.
But, you know, like, bro, I met this dude and he was a fucking wood, he was a wood carver, right?
Yeah.
Moldy,
yeah.
And, moldy, what is it called? Oh man, I forgot what it was called. There's a name for it.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
So toy, like art.
Yeah.
And then like he would tell me, bro, like his dad was a carver and his dad's dad was a carver and like that's all he knew, right? Is it the same with you? Was there anything before your brother? Was mum and dad musical or auntie and uncles or anything like that?
Not really, nah. Like I know that my taste in music was based off like the stuff that my dad would listen to, my mum would listen to, my sister, like.
What kind of stuff?
Oh, you know, just like classic rock, jazz, blues, house. Like, bro, I'm a sucker for house music. Bro. Like, I love house music like crazy. Like,
we'll get to that later because, man, the euphoria is fucking banger, brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a track. But, yeah, because I noticed, like, I read this book, this Outliers book from Malcolm Gladwell, and they talk about, bro, I gotta let you, it's an on book, bro. And this dude it's the dude that did that 10,000 hours.
Yo, yep,
yeah. He kind of came up with that shit, right? And he was like, he had a look at all these different people, successful people, and then went deep dive into stuff. And like Bill Gates and all these people. He even went like, man, this is crazy, bro. This thing buzzed me out. It was like, he did a study on why Asian people are good at math. Bro, and I was like, this is the most racist shit I've ever fucking seen. But bro, he breaks it down.
Is it because like, in that culture.
Watch yourself.
In that country, they start.
Don't do it. There's do cameras here. Watch your fucking self.
Earlier? Like,
No. We go way back, G.
Oh, okay.
We go fucking way back. Oh, yeah. It come down to the rice. Okay? Watch myself. I need to watch it. Stop. Don't start. No. Here's one. So the closer you are to the river, right, the better you are at maths. Because the closer you are to the river, the more rice you can make. And they use rice as currency.
Crazy.
Rice used to be currency in like early China, early. So they would be like, cool, like they'd pay everything in rice. Like I'd pay here, I'd pay this. Like, yeah. So then they had to learn how to be good with currency and numbers.
Oh, shit.
And then the further out you got, the less kind of clicked on you were. And this is, we're going centuries and centuries back. And I read that and I was like, wow, I would have never thought that. And like, you know, like that kind of thing, because it goes back centuries and centuries and centuries.
Yeah.
So was it always a creative thing? Like with is it more of a outlet for being creative, creating music? Because you rap, then you're creating, you're producing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I think it's just the fire, you know, that I have. And my favorite thing to do is figure out how to get what's up here, out here. Like, people say, they would ask, like, what is a creative? Or, like, explain a creative to me. And then I think my way of saying, like, what a creative is just, like, bringing something to life that wasn't here before.
Mm.
Bringing something, to this world that never existed. Something different, whether it's like, man, like I've said this before, like changing lanes in traffic. Like you've just created another way, you know? And like a lot of people say, oh, I'm not creative. I'm like, everyone's creative.
Mm.
You're going to work, you're actually creating like new possibilities, new ways of living, or, you know, like it doesn't have to, like creating something doesn't mean you have to like build something or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
So I guess, yeah, for me, it's just like my favorite thing to do is just like bring whatever's up here, out here. Yeah. And again, like I'm so curious, like how do I do it?
What's one of the hardest like obstacles for you?
Mm.
Like I don't mean in general, but what is something that's like stopped that from happening with you? Like it could be anything from resource, I don't know, but is there anything that's a valid stop to just being getting from what's your head out?
I think what happens is, so for example, if I'm making music, if I'm producing something and it's like, and I've come to a point where, damn, like the sound that I'm looking for is really hard to like get to. And then without even noticing, while you're on the track to find that sound, you find something else that either sounds better, if you know what I mean. And you're like, oh, like this chord sounds better than what I was even looking for.
Okay.
So I guess like when you're on that path, you kind of find.
It's ADHD, bro. Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds like ADHD. Bro,
it might be. It might be Dr. Tim.
Yeah, bro. Hey, we've already started, bro.
Honest to who?
Honest to who, brother.
Yeah, man. So I think that's what that is.
Because I think, I think a lot of creatives are like that.
I could be wrong. Like someone's probably watching like, shut the fuck up.
Nobody will say that, bro. I get what you're saying. You'll be like, okay, I would need to do this here. Mm. Here's what's my idea. Like, let's say like, I'm like, I've got this idea for a show or something.
Yeah.
I'll chuck it out there and then I'll be like, ah, oh, but actually, you know, it would be actually cooler if we did it this way. And then it branches off into something that that is actually quite natural, but at the same time, it's stunting your path, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, but what you're also doing is you're allowing other ideas to happen. Like you're, once you start something, like writing a script or coming up with other ideas, jotting them down, you're actually like allowing other ideas. It's inevitable that something else is going to happen and go, whoa, I can't believe I didn't think of this like originally.
Yeah.
But because you're in a space where you're allowing these things to happen, it just happens naturally. Yeah.
Do you ever find like, fuck, this is a good conversation. I'm like, yo, do you ever find... when's the last time that doubt hit you, bro? That's what I wanted to ask you.
Every day, bro.
Yeah?
Every day.
Explain to me what you mean by that.
Self-doubt to me is something that I don't want to assume, but all artists probably go through.
Yeah.
Like I know for sure myself, I go through self-doubt, and I think that is a part of the ecosystem of being a creative. Like there's so many things that go into your art.
Yeah.
Self-doubt for sure, one of them. Like this morning, man, like I'm my own worst enemy. We're our own worst enemies because we know ourselves the best.
Mm.
We know how to bring ourselves down. We know how to lift ourselves up to the highest point and bring ourselves down to the lowest point.
That was a bar, by the way.
That was a fucking
bar right there.
And like,
we are, gosh.
We are our own worst enemies, man. Like, you know, so I think, self-doubt kicks in randomly. Like it could be like, you know, that little devil on your shoulder, like, bro, you ain't shit.
Yeah.
You can't do this. What are you doing? And I think that is where you go, bet, watch me, like, watch me do this. And it's kind of like, it's like a battle with yourself, really, you know? And that's why I feel like when you're creating something, when you're making something, make it for you because that should be... You know, it should be of service to yourself. Like, am I happy with this? Cool. Like, as long as you're happy, everything else around, like, will come to either fruition or, like, you know, the energy will reflect.
Yeah.
But I think, self-doubt is definitely something that bro, I go through every day. Like, I was self-doubt, like,
I know,
on the
man.
Way here, bro. Like,
that made
you know,
me angry. That made me fucking angry, man.
Yeah, man, it's...
I was like, hey, why are you doubting? Because I mean, like, I get that. Yeah. And I understand what you're talking about because there's some, it is that little devil on your shoulder that's like, you ain't shit. Like, I think everybody has that.
Yeah.
And it's how you deal with that little devil and what you want to do with that little devil.
Yeah.
And there's certain people that are fucking Michael Jordan, I take that personal with shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly. And there's certain people that, oh, nah, maybe they're right. But that thing changes daily. Mm. For me, man, I'm like, nah, fuck, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. Or maybe that was a fluke.
Yep.
Maybe what I did was fucking, maybe that was just a one-off.
Mm.
But yeah, little by little, I've kind of gone, you know, like you build the other one. You build the warrior on the other shoulder to go, nah, fuck that, dude. You're the man.
Yeah, worrying, fuck. It's the worst day. Like, I know everybody worries, but I try to tell myself, like, if worrying is going to fix it and make it better, keep worrying.
Mm.
Keep doing it.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
Is that going to fix your situation? Cool. Keep worrying. That's cool.
Because I think, you know, sometimes being a rapper and a musician, well, being a musician firstly, but being a rapper, is comparison always a big thing? Because, I mean, rap is kind of built off, I'm better than you. Like, watch this. Like, it's the battle rap. It's the OG, you know, Run DMC. It's always that, yo, check me out. And we're always, it's that, you know, I'm the man type buzz, that bravado.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that, like, in the last, I don't know, maybe 5 years, that's kind of made a bit of a switch? Or is personally, with you, have you ever kind of been a, I don't know, that's kind of gotcha?
Yeah, I think, sorry, excuse me. For sure. I'm a competitive person, like, especially with rap. And I've been a hater. I've been a hater, man. Like, you know, and I think
Bro, hold up. Like, as soon as you said that, I thought back to Boomer. And I've been around that guy enough to know, man, that dude, he's a competitive motherfucker.
Yeah, he is, bro. He is.
He's a competitor, our bro. But but you are right. Like it is a competition.
Yeah.
And is it still a competition?
I think as I got older, I've realized that the only competition is just me, really. Like we're all in the sport together. Local artists, international artists, you know, we're all playing a part of bringing something that, again, like it wasn't there before. So what can we do to add value to this community? But of course I'm competitive, man. Like, but again, like comparing, like I do this a lot, like I shouldn't, but again, it's just like, you know, all that self-doubt is all part of the ecosystem. Like, yeah, comparison, like when I compare myself to like other artists and stuff like that, it really like doesn't do me any justice.
Mm.
Like, you know, like comparison is the death of joy. So like, you know, when your favorite artist comes out and then like the critics would be like, nah, you know, someone like Cole better than Kendrick, like all of that shit. It's just like, bro, why stop? Just enjoy it. Like stop trying to compare like who's the GOAT and stuff like that. Because you're just fucking up the vibe. Like just, can you just enjoy the music instead of comparing people like that?
I feel that it's just a human nature thing sometimes, eh?
Yeah.
You're just like, 100%. Oh, yeah, I can. And then especially with social media and fucking Spotify numbers and shit like that, you can kind of, there's a metric to it. Mm. You know, there's a, oh, fuck, I got 10,000 in the first day.
Yeah.
And they got 9,000, you know? And I think you're right. It kills the vibe. It kills the buzz of, like what you said, just creating something for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%, man. Like, and again, like, I mean, you could have the most Spotify plays and stuff like that, but there's just different things that translate, again, differently to real life or like, to other artists and stuff like that. So like if I have 50 listeners, but I go do a show and I've got like 1,000 people in the crowd, or, you know, as to like an artist who will have like 1,000 listeners and then they go do a show, but then no one shows up.
Mm.
So like a lot of those things, yeah. Play a part like that, you know?
I felt like, you know, like in terms of New Zealand hip hop, I think, you know, the golden age, I suppose, what they call it, you know, with your scribes and Te Hamo and when all that and the Dawn Raid stuff kind of happened. I felt from the outside looking in, because I wasn't in, like the outside looking in, there was a competitive element to that.
Mm.
But I feel now more than ever, it's like the opposite. I mean, you look at people like yourself, Tom Scott, then you look at the community dudes, you know, like Rizvan, and then you look at Mello, and you look, everybody's kind of helping each other a lot more. What do you think that is? I know that's a hard question, but is it just the nature of it? Or was there a catalyst to like, hey, we all need to stick together?
I can't speak for everybody, but for myself, I guess, me looking at it, I think a lot of artists have grown and they've realized, like, you know, we can put our egos aside. You know, we can say, like, we're the fucking best and, like, do all this shit as much as we want. But I think, you know, when you do shit together, you know, as a community and work together and collab, things work out better.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, like maybe I'm doing a shit fucking explanation.
It's a village
of it, but like,
mentality.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I honestly think once you put your ego aside, shit just happens way more organically and freely.
Fuck, that's interesting. Like, that's true though.
Like, instead of walking around and be like, oh, I don't want to work with like so-and-so, because I know I'm better, I know I'm this. But then like once you put up those walls, it's like, what now what, like you're not gonna grow, you know, I could be learning, you know, from this person, like they could be learning from me, like, you know. So once you put up those walls of like your ego and stuff like that, and it kind of like, you put yourself in a corner almost. So I think, yeah, just like working together on anything really, like whether it's, you know, like community-wise or music and stuff like that, I think it's better for everybody to grow.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if it's like the NBA right now, right? Like, you know, they were like, oh, you know, it's not like the old days when Jordan used to, you know, like not work out with anybody. And now, you know, LeBron's working out with KD. And and it's like, no, they're just trying to be the best version of themselves, I suppose.
Yeah.
And like listening to you, I mean, you know, like I've said this multiple times, I put you up there in terms of my best rapper because I enjoy the how it relates to my world because you talk about things. But when Music and Street Fighter came out and it was you and Tom Scott, it made me just, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, you know, because those are the top two for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about being the, like saying that you're the best. Like, is it just a consensus thing that Tom is just fucking the best?
Right.
I know that.
That song was like,
did you go in the boot? Like, for those who have not, you know, like, you need to just go and check that song out. It's Tom Scott and it's INF and they're just battling about two of my favorite things, music and Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And that's my go-to, man.
That was like, that's actually probably...
Was that the first time you worked with Tom?
Nah. I mean, on a verse, I think it's our first time, but I had produced something for him.
Yeah.
When I was like a kid, like maybe I was like 16 or 17, did this song. He put out a song called Electromagnetic.
Was it a piece or?
Nah, it's just, I think it's just, oh my God.
Okay.
Damn, don't worry. My bad.
We edit that shit.
But yeah, like we... I think it was like 2016 or even 15, even 14. Man, he hit me and he was like, bro, I got a song called Music and Street Fighter. And it just had the hook on it. And I was like, oh, yeah, dope. And then I sent my verse back to him and he was just like, fuck, this is crazy. And like, and for him to say that,
yeah,
you know, like, and I love that there was, the fact that he even thought of me, like just that was like, holy shit. Like this guy thought of me, then reached out to me. Like he took all these steps. I was like, man, I must be pretty good at this. Like,
was it your first time of going like, fuck, maybe I'm actually better than what I think I am?
Cause it's from a different perspective. Eh? Yeah. Like it's from like, it's, you know, Tom, like,
yeah. Because I think we all kind of have those moments.
Mm.
Like it just popped in my head. Sorry to interrupt you.
No,
you're cool. Your kōrero, brother. Welcome, bro. But no, everybody has those moments where they're like I do it like a few times. Like I'm just like, wow, maybe I, because, you know, the self-doubt sets in and you're like, fuck, maybe I'm not that good.
Yep.
And then when somebody like him reaches out and says, bro, like, would you be, it must be a fucking buzzy moment.
Yeah. I think it's because you get caught up in your own little bubble for so long that you don't realize, like you're so passionate, right? You're so in it that you don't even see the bigger picture, right?
Mm.
And then someone outside is like, yo, like, do you want to do this? Blah, 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 blah. And you're like, holy shit, there's more going around like outside than my own little circle. So that was dope. That was like, I was so happy when that happened. And,
That would have, because I mean, he's consensusly, continuous. Oh, man, don't make me say the fucking big words.
We'll just
consensus. There's a consensus that he is, you know, one of the most talented artists, and I mean, or lyricists, and that has ever come out of New Zealand. But has there been anyone else that has reached out to you or you've worked with? They're just like, wow, like this really buzzed me out the first time they reached out to you.
Damn, I can't even think right now like that, but
D-Dot?
I don't think he's...
No?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Sorry.
We'll just edit that out.
Sorry.
We'll just cut that.
Sorry. D-Dot, reach out for my boy, man. No. Shit, he's waiting.
No.
Sav?
I can't even... Sav. Bro, working with Sav is amazing, eh?
Yeah.
He's so like... full of knowledge and he's just so open to sharing that and giving us like so much guidance and information on how to do things or what to look out for. Like
Savage would have seen everything.
He's seen life, bro. Yeah. So yeah, for him to just be that like a guardian kind of thing. You know, even when we go on tour and like we might be on the same lineup and stuff like that, he's just so informative, like so helpful. Eh? Like he just wants to see us win, like a lot of artists win.
Yeah.
And like I said, like no ego. And I guess that's what I mean. Like you're helping other artists or like the community grow a lot more because you're not just keeping everything to yourself. You're sharing it.
So, you know, like with Smokey, you know, doing producing and things over in the States, is the States a bit different? Are they like when it comes to music, do they keep a lot of their shit to themselves or is it a community thing or that you've seen? I don't want to, blanket statement.
No, from what I've seen, I feel like, collaboration is key.
Mm.
Collaboration is key. Work ethic. When Smoke went to he went to LA for a little bit and then he came back and then he was like, boys, we don't work hard enough.
Oh, wow.
But ever since he said that to us, when we're in the studio, crazy. The work ethic that we have is just like for the last so many years is crazy to the point where when artists ask me, oh, can you do a verse for this or can you, you know, change something here and there, bro. One day or like whatever, like it's quick. I don't do those like.
I do it when I can.
A month, like what is this? Like, you know, because I think we're just so laid back here, like just so super chill. But
is that work good for us or nah? Do you think we need to change?
It depends what kind of, I think it depends what kind of artist you want to be, I guess. If you want to have that in your inventory, like you want to be punctual, if you want to have that as in your like little artist backpack.
That makes a difference though, right?
Yeah, it does. Like, and for me, like when we work with other artists and they get back to us like super quick, for me, I'm like, I love working with this person because they're on time. Yeah. They're not late, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
but
it shows me that you're passionate about it.
That's what I was about to say.
That you give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a priority to you and you're showing us that. So for sure, we want to work with you again.
I mean, work ethic for you, bro, it's been documented, you know, because you've been, especially Sweated, they've been putting stuff out for a long time over and over again.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not a full body of work, but we're getting a lot of things out here.
Yeah.
Euphoria just came out. Man, like, I never thought it was one of those things where you never thought that you needed. Yeah. And it was dance music and Sweated put it together. And it's something that I'm like, there's going to be a lot of people that are on here going, Tim, talk about music all the time. But that shit was fucking on, bro. Like, what was the idea with Euphoria? Like,
man, I think it's just a vibe.
Were you just like fuck it. Let's just make a fucking dance
music. I mean, because we love dance music anyway. We love, like, there's so much music that we're into outside of hip hop that I think if you got to know us or, like, if you met us outside of music, you would understand it. Oh, you guys, these guys just don't listen to hip hop, like just hip hop.
Mm.
These guys are so much more than that. And I think also the cool thing is we get to bring our hip hop fans and like our dance, like house fans, you know, bring them to the same party.
Fuck.
You know? And then, hey, at that party, like the hip hop cats are just in the corner.
Yeah. Fuck. Because I would be honest. No, yeah. I don't listen to that dance stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But anything with Sweated, I'd be like, yeah, I'll give this a go. And it took me like three listens and I was like, yo, this shit is on. Like,
yeah.
And then just more and more music coming out. And even some of the, bro, my favorite part of lockdowns was waiting for like either you or Spike to freestyle, drop a freestyle.
Yeah.
And like, is it important to just keep the train moving?
For me it is, because what I'm doing is just, it's like going to the gym.
Mm.
Keeping your body moving, you know, mobility as an artist. That's my mobility.
Yeah.
Like, you know, walking, running, all of that, that was my gym. Like when I'm in the studio, that's my gym because I'm training, you know, my creativeness, my imagination, my patience, all of that. So I think over lockdown, making these videos, like freestyle videos, it was just a way for me to keep the hamster in the wheel, like running.
Mm.
And that way I could look back and go, oh, I could have done this differently. You know, I'm like my own like analyst. So
yeah,
even after this, like when this comes out, I'm going to look back and go, damn, I could have read more books before this. Like I could have like, you know, drank more water or something, like, because I'm always going to go back and sit and figure out how am I going to better myself.
And it's a great mindset to have when you think about it.
Yeah.
How many people do have that?
I think, yeah, because as an artist, as a professional artist, I need to keep watering this garden that I have because it's my career. So I need to invest in it.
Yeah.
So I want to always like keep learning, keep growing, figure out how I can always better myself, because overall that's going to give me fulfillment.
For like other musicians out there or people that are into, you know, just think, what is a way to water your garden? Like what would be the perfect idea for somebody that is a creative that, you know, uses their brain to make money, I suppose.
And
what are ways that you use to, and I know it's not an advice fucking podcast, but you know, like what would be a way? Because I mean, reading books, I get, you know, vocabulary, but.
Yeah, reading books, like just opening your mind a lot more to a wider perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word?
Perspective? Yep.
Yeah. And just seeing things from a different view as well. Like, and make lots of mistakes, man. Make as many mistakes as you can. Good ones, not like.
Why have you made?
I don't
bad
want to see you on the news.
Oh,
but like,
shit.
You know, those mistakes. But like, you know, like.
Now, what are some bad mistakes you've made? Let's be honest. let's fucking get it out right now, bro.
It's bad mistakes. Like for me, I'm not gonna say, but like I've done some like terrible collabs. Eh? Like,
as
a young artist, you know, when you're just hungry and you just want to go, blah, 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 and like, and be seen, and you want everyone to be like, oh, this guy's like the man. I think I was too eager to just show off my skills on everything instead of actually thinking about what I'm doing and saying no a lot more. I wish I said no earlier in my career, because I was just too much of a yes, 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 because I was like hungry and like everyone's gonna see me rap, like I got bars, like I need to jump on every single song. And I think for me, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Because now I realize how good I was and how accessible I was allowing myself to be for other artists. I didn't think of that though. You know, like I shouldn't have allowed myself to be so accessible. But then, you know, you can't tell the future. So, but like speaking from now, like in this moment of time, I wish I was a bit stingy with my workmanship.
I thought your bad mistake would have been of fucking tagging up all the walls and all Nihonga.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to put my. I was a goodie. I never did that.
Some of the back of the bus seats, bro, say otherwise, bro.
I have no idea what you're talking about, man.
Bro, fuck. Come on, bro. Tell the people, bro, because I know. Shit, come on, G.
Student of.
Nihonga High School.
Yes,
bro, is it true you're the fucking handball champ, bro? Is this a. Were you the best handball champ of Onihonga High School that's ever been created?
Nah, man.
Heard you're the Goldberg, the Bill Goldberg.
The Bill Goldberg.
Of handball.
Was the... What? Nah, man.
Fuck. Come on, bro. Everybody's good at handball.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, who said that? Who's saying this?
Bro, I've
heard. Streets talking.
The streets, bro.
Streets talking. I'm not going
to... Bro, this, you know I know that shit.
Bro, handball, man, I don't even know. Like, we could...
We could play right now, bro.
I haven't played handball in ages.
But bro, it was the go-to.
It was the go-to.
Where's the Street Fighter machines in Onihonga?
Miwa's Bus Depot. Onihonga Bus Depot.
Yes.
Takeaway is called Miwa's. It's called something else now, but they had the Rainbow Edition Street Fighter, and it was like the two fireballs.
Oh yeah, I know which one.
Bro, the cheap all one. That crazy
and
shit.
And fucking Zangief would do fucking, he'd do his little
right across the
squat. Yeah, and then the fire would pop out the side of him.
Yeah.
And you just three buttons.
They had that and then the Hyper Fighter.
So see, now you're talking.
Yeah. So the cool thing was like they had two of those machines.
They had the
like,
options.
Yeah, they had the options.
You so could be a cheap motherfucker like, and play the fucking rainbow version.
Yeah, yeah. Or I kind of love that as like a, just to get a fix, like, oh, look at all this, like all these crazy fireballs, like everywhere you fill both like the top and bottom half of the screen. And it's just so cheap, you know, but it's like, you're getting a fix, like, oh shit, this is so cool.
Finishing this without even trying. But, bro, you notice that like, do you notice that, Street Fighter and hip hop have like this, I don't know, man, they have this marriage, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody talks about Street Fighter rapping wise.
I think that just must have been the game. Like as they were growing up, like the household game on Mega Drive or even now.
Who's the best Street Fighter player that you know?
That I know?
Yep. You can say yourself if you want to. You want to put your fucking self out there.
I'm up there like
Hyperfight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I remember playing, I know Tom's good. Tom, D-Dot's good.
Shay. D-Dot is extremely good.
Shay. So those three and, I mean, but that's because I've played them.
Yeah.
And I think I got to play them all in the same, like within the hour.
Bro, that's the
So that's gauntlet. Like ticking all the boxes,
that's
right?
That's the gauntlet right there.
But yeah, but that's because I'm sure I took an L on everyone. Like I lost to all of them. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Like, but how I learned from that was like, I watched the way that they played. I watched the way that they played. Like Tom kicked my ass with Dowson. Like I did not touch him, bro. He was just like, the high kick, sniping.
That takes a lot of patience to learn Dowson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if you, like for those that are listening, like what the fuck are they talking about? Street Fighter 2, this dude named Dowson. He's the Indian dude that fights in front of all the fucking elephants and shit. Mm. He's like a long rangey dude.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
And takes a lot of damage though.
Yeah. I think that's when I knew that my Street Fighter IQ was like trash.
Was just Guile.
From that night, Guile and Ken. Like, you know, that was my bag, like Ken and, you know, and Blanca, like,
Blanca's my guy.
That's my guy. That's my guy.
That's us. We're fucking Brazilian. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. That
shit. So like,
apparently fucking overpowered in the sixth one.
Oh really?
He's the fucking man apparently.
Damn.
So yeah, we're gonna get on sticks right now. I want to give a shout out to DJ Reminisce.
Yeah.
Apparently this dude is a legend.
Yeah.
When it comes to Street Fighter, Hyper Fights.
Yeah.
Him and Mark Hunt apparently are fucking on.
Easy, yeah.
So you don't want to lose to Mark Hunt. He'd knock the shit out of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
if you don't want to do the cheapies, no throws though.
I never throw.
I don't throw.
I don't know. I don't know why. And I've never gone into a Street Fighter fight and said no throws. But it's just like, I don't think about it.
Mm.
And the way I play is I don't have throws and my bag, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a bit different on the newer shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, growing up, you're like, stop being cheap, man. Stop throws, G.
Move back. Because, that takes a lot of damage, eh? Like,
but, I mean, hey, bro, it's not cheaper if you can't reverse it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, just
it's
like-
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. You're just letting me throw you around like that.
Here's a question, bro. I want to hit you, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, you better pause that. You better pause that shit with regards, with kind regards, brother. Because Eddie Gordo is probably the cheapest of all cheaps.
Bro, you know what? I feel like if you know how to use Eddie.
I'm about to say the same thing to you.
Yeah.
I don't think he's cheap at all. Eddie Gordo and Tekken, any Tekken.
Yeah.
I don't think he's cheap. I think just people get frustrated because they don't know how to block low.
Block low. Bro, block low. Block. Yeah,
and punish.
Block. Like,
yeah.
And punish. Like, I think when you're not a gamer like that though, it may seem frustrating, like getting fucking sweeped multiple times.
Yeah, with the flares, with the air flares.
And you're just like, fuck. But to add to that, the person who's using Eddie is just going,
oh yeah.
Like they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Frustrating as fuck.
That's frustrating looking at this person who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, but they're beating. They're beating on you.
Bro, I remember one time, bro, I, at the time I had a girlfriend and we're playing Fight Night, which is a great game. She kicked my ass, but just doing that, I felt ashamed.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the last time I saw her.
Because you know, like, how to play.
Wait, sorry, rewind. That's the last time I was like, get out the house. Yeah. How dare you beat me at this game? But you know, there's certain games that you're just like, ah,
yeah,
I'll just fucking, yeah. Like, but there's ones that involve a lot of skill.
Yeah, yeah. And that, I think, again, that's like your ego. Like, man, I know how to play this game. I know all the, you know, all my combos lined up in my head. And then when you go into it, it's against someone who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing and you can't do anything that you know how to do. Yeah. Like, this is my game and you're fucking me up. That's... I guess that, you know, that is kind of embarrassing like for some.
Gee, watch the segue. You ready for the segue? You ready for the segue, bro? Are you ready?
Stay ready.
Bro, would you say like humble, those mumble rappers would be those button mashers? Compared to, maybe, you know, your skilled, you got your skilled combos, you got your skilled bars. And then there's someone just coming up.
First of all,
rate that segue.
That was hard.
Fuck.
That was hard. That was a hard segue.
See, this is why. This is my art form. This is my, these are my bars.
Yeah, see, I'm just.
This is my world. You're just living in it.
Bro. Yeah.
You're just staying in it. You just got a hotel. You got an Airbnb in my world, brother.
Oh, shit.
Look at this shit. We got a fucking logo now, bro.
Yeah, we got a logo.
Shit. Anyway, would you say that, though? Would you be more of a purist when it comes to writing shit?
Yeah. And I think when you. You know, I'm going to say this, like, I was a big hater on that shit. Like, when I first heard of it, I was like, man, I sounded like how the old heads would be like, this new generation, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's what I sounded like. But also, I can, you know, admit that I did sound like that at one point. But I realized I should stop looking at things, at artists expressing themselves I was looking at it for how it, I was judging on how it should be.
Mm.
Like it should have been this way, but I changed the way I looked at it and just appreciated it for what it is and not, it should be like this. It should be like this. When it's like, nah, man, because I was just like this, like just trying to express myself.
Yeah.
And that's how it was. And that's how it is with these new artists now. So, and that has helped me grow and appreciate so much more music and like open my eyes to like trying new things and stuff like that and embrace new sounds and new ways of making songs.
There's a lot of and it's probably the same answer in a way that you're.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that like a lot of musicians say, like, I'm still trying to find my sound.
Mm.
Is that the goal at the end of the rainbow that will never get found? But I just rhymed there, gee.
Bars.
Wait, I'll go back again.
Yeah.
Finding my sound is that the gold bucket at the end of the rainbow that can never be found. Real rap raw. Get me on a verse. Get me on a fucking verse, brother.
Play the music.
Play my music out, motherfuckers. Let's go.
I think like when artists, as myself, like I guess I did go through that phase of like trying to find my sound. I went through a phase of like, I felt like I had to yell on every song, like really scream every verse. And I found I was getting sick of it. Like, I'm like, bro, I'm so tired of like yelling my verses. Like, why do I have to like scream every fucking bar? Like, that's so exhausting. I know that I can just say what I need to say and communicate it with just my normal voice. Without going, fuck. And I guess there's like some songs that you need to bring that energy, you know. But I guess that when you're trying to find your own voice, that's just like a you thing, like totally up to you when that happens, when you decide, oh, this is me, this is my pocket, I belong here. So
I think like in terms of, you know, I reckon like finding where you fit in the landscape of whatever you're trying to do is, you know, it can be quite frustrating, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like this is what traditional rappers are like.
Yeah.
And this is what traditional, you know, this is what this is. And also like, you know, another segue, you're going to Sneakaholics. Oh, fucking three in a row. Look at this. Sick. You know, finding that pocket of who you are as a host. You know, that was your first time.
Yeah.
Brother, fucking hell. You see why I'm here? Oh, you see why I've got a logo?
I see why your eyebrows are on your beanie.
Bro, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see that.
This is it. Well, my eyebrows are quite bushy, but you know, I got the gap in the teeth because I segue.
Yeah.
Because there ain't no gaps in my segues.
Yeah. Do you know where Tintin and his dog is? Or is it just you on this?
I know you and Samuel L. Jackson's hat need to get the fuck out of here, right? You're going to give Samuel L. Jackson his, and your sister's sunglasses. Give him the fucking... But you know what I mean? Like, Sneakaholics, that would have been... You jumped out of... Like, I didn't expect that you would have, you know, jump in to be a host or something.
Mm.
How did you feel, though?
I felt pretty... It's hard. It's not easy. Like, it was, I guess I was my own worst enemy. I was like, bro, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, writing my own little script. And the script wasn't even
I
thought.
I was like, what the fuck are you in there for? Yeah, I should be me.
Yeah.
Why the fuck am I not in there?
I was like, writing these like scripts, like, now when I look back at it, it was fucking easy. Like, I was just like, you know, because it was my first time experiencing.
Did you write the script?
Yeah, well, most of my lines, wrote them all.
That's
so
good.
But it was like, putting that pressure on myself, like, I need to be the best at this.
Mm.
But, and yeah, when you think about it, it's like, you can't just be the best straight away when you just step into something. Like, everyone starts on like a 2 kg dumbbell or like whatever, like, I didn't start on a 2 kg dumbbell,
or,
by the way.
Or mumble
by
rapping.
Way, by the way, nah.
Or the mumble raps, you start there.
You know, and that's why I keep saying to myself, like, you don't have to be, great to start, but you must start to be great. Like, you got to start somewhere.
I feel like, to be great. Listen, you've given us a lot of quotes here. Okay. I feel like
you're the quote counter.
All of a sudden you've turned into the fucking Rock, bro.
Nah, I'm just saying, like, that's what I've been telling myself, right, like, a lot. And
it's either day one or one day, bro. Which one's going to be?
Bro, exactly. Boom. Day one or one day.
Boom. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Nah, that's a bar.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it is a nerve wracking thing.
Yeah.
You get a lot of like imposter syndrome type buzz where you're like, fuck, should I?
Yeah. A lot. Like, what am I even doing? Yeah. Like, what is this? Like, who? What am I? Like,
it turned out great, though.
Thank you, bro. Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I think what helped was because I knew a lot of the cast already, like who I was talking to, and so we kind of had like a bit of a rapport outside of Sneakaholics.
Takes
already.
The icebreaker out.
To do that. And shit. I think what I was more focused and worried about was how I presented myself on camera, how I looked. Like, how I spoke, and if I was just doing a good job, if I was coming across palatable for the viewers, like, watching. So I think that was I was on my own, like, fucking back like that. So
Sneakaholics is, how many episodes was it?
Seven
episodes, and it was all based around, and it's on TVNZ Plus, it was all based around shoes and the sneaker culture, right?
Yeah. Just like, bro, every day, everyone's into something. So I guess, like, you know, and this is the first show in this country about that, like, about shoes and people's lives and how they became, not addicted, but, you know, sneakers became part of their lifestyle. Mm. And just learning that anyone could be one of those, like, anyone could be a sneakerholic.
Because, bro, I loved, before I even knew you, you know, on those... on the forums on Facebook, you were legendary, brother. When you used to ask random people about legit checking random people, just, you know, taking the piss out of it. It was lovely. It was lovely. And I was like, who the hell is this Amon Tyson motherfucker?
What was I saying?
I remember there was one and it was like, can I get a legit, and you legit checked yourself. So legit checks for those people are like, you got to vouch for someone, right? Yeah. So you're in these forums and you have to vouch that somebody is legit, you know, like, they're not just thinking, you're like, yo, can I get a legit check on myself? Because I'm feeling it right now.
No, I thought that's what you'd like. I was like, shit, can, because like, I wanted, I think I was selling shoes in like another forum. But, you know, obviously the same people belong in this forum.
Don't try to justify that.
Can I get a legit check on me just so people can go, yeah, legit. And then I can go on my way and selling my shoes because people.
I wish I knew you back then, because I'd say this is one of the most scumbag motherfuckers I've ever.
I was being for real. Like I was trying to. Yeah, I needed people to vouch for me so I could look.
Stop it! Just stop right there. It's okay. No. Listen, the people know that you've got that.
Yeah.
That scumbag essence in there somewhere. So don't try to fucking, hey guys, the way that I am, I'm INF. Hey man, shut the hell up. All right. I've seen that shit and it pissed me off about you.
Yeah. When are you going to give Pax his beanie back?
Bro. That took you a long time to come. We joked about that.
Oh, did he?
No. Me and you just joked about that about 5 minutes ago. That took you 5 minutes to come up with that shit.
No, man, I'm always, you never know. I'm always on time.
But what did you learn about yourself then? Going back to like Sneakaholics, what did you learn about yourself and what did you learn that you need to improve upon?
I learned that I need to just worry less, eh? That obviously fucking doesn't get you anywhere. And I needed to realize that, fuck, I got this, man. Like,
fucking
stop, I fucking got this.
Fucking
you. And then, you know, like, I fucking got this shit. So I was realizing, man, like, what I'm doing right now, like, as an artist and stepping into the television, because that's your world, bro. Like,
not really.
That's your world, man. Your world.
Yeah.
That is your
world. I've only got a 2 minute segment every week on Crowd Goes Wild.
And how many weeks has that been so far?
Been like 100.
200 minutes, bro.
Okay. That's not my podcast.
That's 200 minutes, man.
Also, the bakery runs in episode 60 at the moment. Actually, you know, like the first couple of seasons of Bakery Run, we had different sneakers on every episode.
Shit.
Yeah. Damn. So this brings to the point, why in the bluest of blue hells, why the fuck was I not invited onto Sneakaholics, bro?
Bro.
I just want to let you know, I have.
I don't know what
bridge. I got a storage unit, an invite to.
Like, there were so many bridges.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're one brick away from burning this bridge down, okay? If there's a season two and the bro's not even, I just want to be in the background, okay? I don't even need to be interviewed.
Bro, season two.
I want to just come and just give out sandwiches.
Nah, bro.
Okay.
Yo, there was like so many people that I wanted to have on the show, but because of like.
Was I one? You didn't know.
I don't think so. Just of other things like management or like legal stuff, but
yeah,
it is what it is, man. There's like so many more. I obviously want to get them back on for season two. And
in all seriousness though, I think you got, when you hit the nail on the head with the episodes that you had, Sevilla and Shefu are the godfathers when it comes to shoes. So getting them on first and foremost was on.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And you were like Daniel Tupada. Man. But then all the way down to like, we had like the customizers, we had Legit Checks, we had Jesse and like Randy. So we had like solid elements of you know, different avenues in the sneaker world.
Mm.
Like, so that was cool too. Like, you got the young generation, you got the OGs, collectors, the authenticators. Stuff like
it was
that.
Cool
just
to
so
see,
many
bro.
Things for people who don't even know what the fuck is going on in the sneaker world. They go, oh shit, there's actually people that check if a shoe is real or fake, or there's like actual people who make shoes to, you know, like customize shoes and stuff like that. Like, because I know that there's people who just didn't know what the fuck, like, you know, that this even existed.
What was your first pair that you can remember that were like, yo, I'm fucking swaggy out this
shit. My first pair, this year. I think this year?
No, oh, I mean, when you, no, let's share. Just, what's your one? When you were younger?
I think I would have been like 16 and I bought these, it was like Air Force One. It was like, the whole pattern was like a patent leather, and it was like the American flag had the stars all over it. It was like red, white, blue, and I thought it was on. I got it from Loaded, and like, you know, I thought it was fresh. I had like the matching Iverson jersey, like the red sixes with the red, white, blue, and then like the sixes cap.
Bro, you were sixed out.
Bro, I was like, damn, I was in my Dipset era. Like,
bro,
that's right. And I thought it was the shit, like, you know, and I need to find that pair again.
So they were just the flag Air Force Ones, that patent leather
ones. Yeah. I thought it was a shit. What about you?
Bro, I had the Larry Johnson Reacts, my G.
Reacts?
The Reacts. Oh, shit. Converse Reacts. It had a gel little thing because I wanted them pumps.
Yeah,
I got to shout out my mum, by the way.
Yeah.
She lay-by'd that shit for fucking 3 months.
Oh, lay-by.
I know. And this is at Sterling Sports way back in Rewa.
Yeah.
And I remember getting them, bro. And I just remember, bro, I'm the hottest thing on the fucking block right now. Yo, I couldn't rebound like Larry Johnson, but bro, I could bust some dude's ankles, I'm telling you.
Do you still have them?
Nah. This is.
Would you buy another pair?
Hell yeah, I would. But there's certain sneakers, right? Mm. Like you'd buy it regardless, right?
Yeah.
Because I collect like LeBron ones.
Yeah.
Like Air Zoom Generations. I've got like 7 pairs of them.
Yeah.
And they're all like, you know, rare.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hold on to those because you never know.
Yeah.
When he retires, people are going to want to buy that shit.
Mm.
And it's the same with all of that, you know, like, all the retros that are coming out. It's fucking dope though.
Yeah.
It's cool that you got to document that shit.
Yeah. And fuck, I'm still fucking appreciating it.
Mm.
Like I'm still processing it because there's so much things that I'm blessed to do to the point where I need to stop and just show myself some gratitude and just be grateful for stuff.
That's hard though, right? That's hard for anybody.
Yeah.
To smell the flowers, they say.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, how do you do that? Because I'm interested because there's like, you know me.
Yeah.
I don't really do that. I just keep working, you know?
Yeah. I think when I have moments of, because I'm like that too. Like I work.
Mm.
Shout out to Rihanna.
I like what you did there, brother.
Right. So I have moments where I'm like, I have that, not self-doubt, but it's like, I'm like, man, what the fuck have I done in this last year? Like, and then that's when I go, oh, wow, I achieved this. I got a TV show, I got a song out, I've got this award. And it's like this big overwhelming feeling when I'm like, oh, fuck, I should just stop. And look at these awards, look at these trophies, like look at this TV show I've got, look at these songs out, and then just tell myself like, fuck, how cool is that? How amazing that you got to live this life and you know, add value to all these different communities. Like you should be proud of yourself.
Mm.
And that should go for everybody. Like whatever you do, whether you work in an office, whether you're a truck driver, anything, I think you should always just show yourself some gratitude once you get home or like on your lunch break or something and just say, fuck, I'm doing so well. Like I'm proud of myself for getting this far because it fucking helps. Like, and fuck, you don't end up eating yourself, you know?
Cause I think I'm in like, and it's great that you brought that up because I think I'm at that conundrum at the moment, right? Yeah. Where I'm just like, yo, what's the next thing? I got to get onto this. I got to keep going. I got to do it. But yeah, a lot of the times, you know, like, bro, I think now personally, like I'm going through a bit of a time where I'm just like, bro, like, fuck, you've done so far. But if you quit now, it all goes back to square one. So you got to keep working. But that's not actually what happens. And I'm trying to make myself believe that.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a struggle, man. It's a big struggle.
Yeah.
You know?
It consumes us, bro.
100.
It consumes us. Like, again, like we get so deep into it, just like, we don't see the bigger picture and we're so passionate about it. It becomes a reason for living.
Mm.
It's like, I got to do this every day. Like I'm so into it. Like it becomes the reason why I wake up in the morning because I know I'm going to like make some music today to the point where it's like, man, I need to just chill for like 5 minutes and appreciate what I've done. Like big or small.
Yeah.
Because that'll help you. You know, your body knows what's going on. So you need to, like up here, you need to be on point with yourself and just be honest with yourself and be like, hey.
What's the hardest thing you've had to be honest to yourself about? like accountable for?
Yeah.
Like I'm going through something I'm going through something at the moment where I'm like, I'm kind of like, yo, you're not working hard enough.
Mm.
Like, and then, you know, because I hold myself accountable. If there hasn't shit coming out or if there isn't, you know, a podcast or if there isn't social media shit, if there isn't that coming out, that's on me, you know? And Sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you on that, man. I feel like...
So it must be the same with music too, right?
Yeah. Like I...
You don't want people to forget who you are, but I don't think they will.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just like, keeping myself accountable and realizing that, you know, just... I have to be more patient with myself. Like, realize, man, there's timing. Like, timing is everything, I guess. But when it happens, it'll happen. Like, I need to stop pressuring myself and forcing things. I need to just, not go with the flow. But when I'm working, I need to work with intention. So I'm not forcing any, like, unwanted energy out into the world. I need to just take my time, and when these achievements that I want to reach happen, it'll happen. I think I just need to stop being so hard on myself.
Yeah, I think you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, I guess. Everyone is their own worst enemy. Like I'm saying. Yeah.
But brother, I just want to say huge thank you, and thank you for bringing joy to a lot of people. Like I think.
Love.
You know, like a lot of people don't, I know a lot of people go, oh, it's just music or, oh yeah, music. But people resonate with any music. And for somebody that, you know, speaks the language of, you know, my people and people that are around me and myself, you know, I just want to say, a huge thanks, man. Because, you know, yourself, and there's a lot of rappers out there and a lot of musicians out there.
Yeah.
They're not even from New Zealand, but you can kind of, or new from New Zealand. You can kind of go, I get what they're saying, and it makes, you know, it's like sharing a story. So thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro. Thanks for having me, man. And same to you, bro. Like, thanks for opening doors for so many people, so many creatives out there. Like, and you're paving a way. Even for myself, when I see you out there, I'm like, man, I want to give this a go. Like, maybe I want to, like, fucking.
So you just copying my steez, bro.
Pretty much, bro.
That's like, the whole podcast. That's the whole, we've got him. We fucking got him. He's been copying all my content. Much, man.
But yeah, you know, like I just want to say, bro, shout out to you, bro. You're doing really well. Like again, after this, bro, find some time to show yourself some gratitude and say that you're grateful for what you've done for yourself as well.
Well, I'm grateful for you, brother. We're going to, that's us for now. We're going to come back though. We'll be back on Wednesday for this new, I got this, I haven't even told you about this, bro, but we've got a podcast on Wednesdays now. It's called The Goat Busters, brother.
Goat Busters.
So don't worry. I'll run
goats.
Bro, that's what we're going to be doing when we come back on Wednesday. Okay. Shut the. All right. And we'll see you. Thank you, bro. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Yeah?
Frank Podcast.
And Guy from the Extremely Casual Gamers podcast. We're a casual gaming podcast for the everyday gamer.
We chat everything gaming from PlayStation to Xbox to Nintendo to PC, but not like full-on stuff, like super chill stuff, casual stuff, like, oh, if you had to date a video game character, who would you date?
Even if you're just gaming on your mobile, we want to hang out with you. And we've got awesome giveaways for you to win.
Join us every Thursday for a brand new episode. Just search Extremely Casual Gamers wherever you get your podcasts.